Pastor Rose will be coming up now to share a message with you. I'll just say a little prayer for her. Holy Spirit, thank you for empowering Pastor Rose with all the wisdom, conviction, and courage she uses each time she so faithfully prepares and shares God's message for us. Thank you. Amen.
So on Friday, we had a very fun time at the ocean. And there is nothing that I can think of. I mean, I love the ocean. I love it, love it, love it, love it. I don't care about the sand. I love swimming in the ocean. I love getting up and seeing the sunrise at the ocean. I like swimming when the sun goes down. But how fun it was on Friday, even though I was driving a 15-passenger van, how fun it was to take kids that had either never been to the ocean or it was their second time. And, you know, about, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And then when you start to get close to where there's water and they see water, you know, along the Jersey Shore, we went to Gateway Recreational Park, which is Sandy Hook. So you can see the New York City skyline from the park. But as we're getting closer and they can see water, they're like, oh, is that the ocean? Is that the ocean? Is that the ocean? And just such delight. And it was so cool because usually when you go to the ocean, you know, the waves are crashing pretty high and you have to really, really watch the little kids because they don't really understand. But on this day, you could go out way further than the edge of this church. You could go out pretty far and still have the water only be to your waist. And the waves were crashing like four different times. And so you just could keep going out, going out. Now, by the end of the day, the tide came in and it was deeper. But it was so beautiful. And so I don't know how many of you like the ocean. But in general, Americans and people around the world think the ocean's a cool place. They don't have a bad idea in their mind when it comes to the ocean in general. But I want you to understand something, that in the time that Scripture was written, the sea, which would have been the Mediterranean Sea, right? The ocean for them, the sea, it was like a symbol of evil. So it is the opposite. To me, I see the ocean, I think of God's love. Like, that's just the picture I have in my mind. I even said that to one of the kids, you know, as big as this ocean is, God loves us even more than that, right? But Jewish understanding, when the scriptures were written, was that the sea represented evil. It represented chaos. Even in the New Testament times, in Revelation, it talks about the beast, or the evil one, coming up out of the sea. So the sea, that image to them, was not how we think of it when we go down to the Jersey Shore. You know, let's have fun. It was a dark, scary place, and it represented evil. So, if you look at Genesis 1, which was our text today, it makes sense when you understand that the way they thought about the sea. So let me just take a step back. Genesis 1:1 was not written down, you know, like while God was doing creation. It wasn't written down then. It was written down many, many, many years later because people didn't write down right away. They just spoke the stories. But when it finally got written down, probably by Moses or in that time period, it was written down because they were living around other people who worshiped the sun or the moon, or the stars, or they had gods that they called that came out of the ocean. And so Moses and God wanted God's people to know. And there were lots of creation stories all floating around. You might have read them, like the Epic of Gilgamesh, or those kinds of stories when you were in high school. So there were all these creation stories around, and God wanted them to know, no. You don't worship the sun or the moon or the sea. No, 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 no. I am the one who created all of that. So the first creation story, there are two in the Bible. Genesis 1 has a creation story and Genesis 2. One is more of a poem, and this is the first one. It starts out, in the beginning, Before there was time, right? God created the heavens and the earth. And it says the earth was like a formless, empty void. There was nothing. And there was this big, watery deep. Think in your head. Darkness. Chaos. And it says the Spirit of God, or in the original language, it says Ruach. Ruach, which means breath or wind, was hovering above that watery deep. So evil, when it, all of that, God had power over that from the very beginning. And so when Moses had this written down, he wanted people to know God was God over that sea, over that chaos, over that. I'll never forget, you know, you have some memories that stick in your head. I was, when 9/11 happened, I was a chaplain, well, a teacher and a chaplain at a school in Trenton, New Jersey. So we were pretty close to New York City. We had students whose parents worked in New York City. And when 9/11 happened, when the planes crashed into the Twin Towers, we had chapel that day. And so we told our high school students what had happened. And we prayed together. And we just kind of sat in silence. And I remember this one kid, Rob, he prayed out loud. He said, God, in the beginning, you were God over chaos. Because he knew that understanding, that empty darkness in the original language is like chaos. And you came in and you breathed and you healed. And we need you to do that now in our country, in our nation, in our lives. Never forget that. It's a beautiful picture. See, when they thought of it, when they thought of the watery deep or hovering over the waters, they thought of evil or darkness. But God came and hovered over them and brought what? New life. Brought what was good. Created something new. So that's how our scripture starts. If you read the Bible all the way through from cover to cover, that's how it starts. Let's go to how it ends. As you go to the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, which was written hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later, you'll see a different view. Now, in Revelation 4 and Revelation 15, it talks about a sea, a different kind of sea. Not an empty, dark sea of chaos, but a sea that is so clear. It is so calm. It is so peaceful. It's like glass. And it reflects the beauty and the glory of God. And John, who wrote the book of Revelation, said, when the angel opened my eyes to see the throne room of God, which is right now, this is true right now, there's a sea of glass near God. So you have this chaos in the beginning, and at the end you have this beautiful picture. It's not even the end, because it's happening right now with God. And then in the end of Revelation, in Revelation 22, it says that the sea is no more in Revelation 21. And instead of a sea, there is a river. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. And then it goes on to describe this beautiful healing place, kind of like the Garden of Eden renewed. And there is no longer any curse. There is no longer any evil. There is no longer any death. There is no longer any pain. There is no longer any suffering. That is what it will be. So Jewish understanding was the sea represented chaos and evil, but a river was good and represented all that was good, because it was flowing and it was fresh water and it was clear and it was needed for, you know, irrigation and drinking and planting. And so in their understanding, this beautiful river flows from the throne room of God, and their sea will be no more. Now, we're not in the beginning of the Bible. And we're not at the end yet. At least those of us that are still walking around here, right? We live in the in-between. So in the in-between, the beginning and the end, right? The sea still exists. We still have evil. We still have chaos. There was another shooting, a mass shooting last night in Texas. You know, there's a storm like Mark talked about down coming up on the Florida coast. There's violence. There's all kinds of things that represent evil and darkness and chaos. But we have to remember when we're in this in-between place before we get to heaven and we're living with Jesus, that already the sea has been made glass, right? Already at the throne room of God, the sea is still. Like when Jesus, you know, when Jesus was with his disciples and there was a storm and he said, "Peace be still," and the storm stopped and the water got calm. He did those sorts of things to show he had power over the sea, over darkness, over evil. That in his resurrection, he had the victory already. So we live in the in-between. We live in the now and the not yet. Okay? Not yet. We're not quite there. But we know that because of what he did, his victory is already assured. So much of Scripture, in between, much of Scripture talks about God's salvation that takes people through the waters. And Mark had a beautiful ark that Bruce said we're going to steal because we liked it so much. He had a beautiful ark for the kids, if you didn't see it because you didn't come up close. And I just put a big, giant wave up there, right? God's story of salvation all throughout the whole Bible from beginning to end takes people through the waters. In that in-between. So we got the evil sea, the darkness, and we have the glassy sea, the calm. But we're living in the middle, and we got to go through the waters. He took them through in the ark in Genesis 6. In Exodus, remember, he took them through the waters when they were the children of Israel and they came out of Egypt as slaves and they were standing at the edge of the sea and in front of them was the sea, big scary monster sea, and behind them were big scary chariots from Egypt, right? And they were stuck. What were they going to do? Moses raised his staff and it says in Scripture, Moses stretched out his hand, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. That wind is a symbol of the Spirit. Just like the Spirit was there at creation, the Ruach, the wind was there at creation, it's there again. And it's creating a way through the waters. God's story of salvation, God's big story, takes us through the waters. The next one is in the Jordan River in Joshua 3. This one is not as familiar, but this is after Moses died, and Joshua was going to have the children of Israel cross the Jordan River to go into the promised land. And this time, there was no staff raised in the air. This time, he sent the priest to carry the Ark of the Covenant, which was the presence, the Spirit of God. And it says that when they stepped into the water, they had to step in. And they had to walk out in it. Then the waters separated. And they stood there in the middle of that river the whole time while everybody walked through. And then they picked up stones. And they brought them and they set them up from the middle of the riverbed. And they said, look, this is a marker of how God has been with us. So sometimes God takes us through the water in a boat. We get to ride out the storm. Sometimes God brings people in our lives, or maybe we're those kinds of people for other people, that hold that staff up in prayer and help us get through the water. And sometimes God says, the water's there, you just got to step in it. And trust that I'm going to take you through it. But you got to step in. Or maybe, again, you're stepping in so that somebody else can go through the waters of hard times. Being with people. God is a God who is with us in the waters. God's story of salvation takes us through the waters. I want to give you some other examples from the Old Testament. We're kind of looking at this in between the old and the new, right? Another passage that comes from Isaiah 43, one of my favorite. If you ever have surgery and I come and pray with you, I often read this to you, right? Do not be afraid. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You belong to me. When you pass through the rivers, the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you go through fire, you will not be burned. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. You are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. Isaiah 43. If you don't have that one memorized, memorize it. It doesn't say when you go through the waters or when you face them, I'm going to pull you up and you're never going to have to go through them. No, you got to go through. There's no easy way around. You got to go through. Jesus had to go through. We have to go through. Another passage in Psalm 46 also shows us this idea of the sea is a scary place, but God is with us when the sea is shaking. It says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. It doesn't matter how powerful that sea seems or how powerful that evil seems in the world. Its waters are roaring and foaming in the mountains, or there's an earthquake, right? No. The psalmist says there is a river. Remember that river that we talked about in Revelation 21, 22? There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. So you see the difference between the sea of chaos and the river of life that is Jesus, that is the Spirit. Don't be afraid in the midst of the sea. We have to go through the waters. That's the way God's story of salvation has been all throughout Scripture. And then God's story of salvation takes us through the waters into the new creation. At the very end, oh no, this is in John. The scripture is from John. Jesus is hanging out with Nicodemus in the middle of the night. And Nicodemus is asking him, "What? Who are you? You're kind of different. I want to understand who you are, what you're doing." And he says, "You know, I want to know what it means to live like you." And Jesus says, "You know, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again." And then Nicodemus says, "Oh, I cannot get back in my mother's womb and be born again." Right? That's crazy talk. And Jesus says, no. Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. So just like when a baby's born, there's a lot of water that comes out because they've been in that utero, that sac, right? And there's a new birth that happens when a baby is born, obviously, but it comes out of the water. And Jesus said, in the same way, you are born again. You become a new creation. So we celebrated a baptism last week. And that baptism is that idea of new birth. You die when you go under the water. You come out to new life. New creation. Danilo had had a piece of tape up here. And he talked about what's our old life, what's our new life. This is a new creation. You come through the water. You come through the water. Jesus was baptized. Came through the water. The very end of Scripture, in Revelation 22, says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth." This is John who's writing this. "The first heaven and the first earth had passed away," and read that with me. "There was no longer any sea." There was no longer any evil. There was no longer any powers of darkness. There was no longer any mental illness. There was no longer any disease. There was no longer any violence. There was no longer any job loss. There was no longer any cancer. There was no longer any of that. Because there's a new heaven and a new earth. And the God who created something new in the beginning out of darkness is now going to create something new again. And there will no longer be any sea. There will be a river. He said, he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. Right? I am before time. I am when there is no time anymore. And to the thirsty, I will give water. And that comes from that beautiful stream that we already talked about. Without cost, from the spring of the water of life. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, 18, around there, says, if you are in Christ, you are new creation. New creation. You're already a part of this new creation if you've said yes to Jesus. And you can trust that he will be with you when you walk through the waters on this side of heaven until finally one day you are at the place where there is no more sea. No more sea. Let us pray. God, thank you that you are God over the sea, that you are God over all creation, that you are God before there was time, and you will be God when there is no more time, only eternity. Thank you that you bring us and you are with us through the sea, through the water, and we can trust that your victory is complete, and that one day we will drink from your river that flows from your throne. Help us, God, on this side of heaven, where the sea still feels pretty big and strong, to trust in you, to reach out our hand and help others when they're in the midst of the sea, when they feel like they're drowning, and to keep taking steps of faith, knowing that you go before us. In Jesus' name, amen.